Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for our meditation this morning will be the Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy chapter 5. My dear fellow Christians, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has brought us the best rest when he came to be our Savior. What is your idea of a good rest? Well, that surely depends upon what you do in your daily activity, doesn't it? And it depends on your age, too. If you should happen to be a student or a teacher, the summer break is fast approaching, or maybe for you it's already here. During the summer, you will be busy with other activities, but no homework, no lesson plans. Less stress speaks of a good rest, doesn't it? If your daily work is physical and you're on your feet all day, for you to be able to come home and sit in the recliner and put your feet up is a good rest. If after many years of toil, all the work and labor has taken a toll on your body so that you can't get a good night's sleep, not without any medication anyway, and you can only dream about what it was like when you were able to get a good rest. Whatever your situation might be, a good rest is something that we all look forward to, isn't it? Or at least dream about. Our scripture readings this morning, as you noticed, are about the Sabbath day, the Lord's Sabbath. The word Sabbath, as you perhaps know, is an Old Testament Hebrew word which means rest. And you know the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. In other words, remember this day of rest by setting it apart as something special. We come upon this commandment in our reading from Deuteronomy this morning. Actually, when Moses brought the law, the commandments down from Mount Sinai, the commandments are recorded for us already in the book of Exodus. But here in Deuteronomy, which means the second giving of the law, we see Moses speak about this commandment again and the special rest that we have in our Lord and from him. He gives the commandment, and let's hear again those words. They're printed for you in your worship folder. Be careful to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your ox or donkey, any of your livestock, or the resident alien who lives within your city gates, so that your male and female slaves may rest as you do. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. When Moses brought the commandments down from Mount Sinai, he tied the Sabbath day in with words about creation. He said, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. And then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. It's more than a little significant when we read the account of creation to notice that with each day that God created something, he declared it good. And then the day was completed with the phrase, and there was evening and there was morning. But we notice that when it comes to the seventh day, we don't have that phrase of the completion of that day. Now surely the sun also rose and set, even as it did on the 6 days before and has on every day since then. But God wanted it to be known that the rest that he gave was something that he wanted to be continuous. Be worth our time just to remind ourselves what God's Sabbath, his rest, is not, so that we can better understand what it is. When God rested on the Sabbath day, it certainly wasn't because after 6 days of creating, he was just so tired that he had to take a rest. The prophet says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary." And neither can it be that God's rest is that after he was done with 6 days, everything was completed and he retired. There wasn't any work left for him to do. No, the Apostle Paul tells the people at Athens who didn't know the true and living God, that it is in God, that in him that we live and move and have all of our being. And Jesus told the Jewish leaders who objected to him when he healed a man on the Sabbath, "My Father is always working, and I am working also." So if the Sabbath rest, the seventh day of rest, is not because God was tired, and if it doesn't mean that he retired, that he is still keeping our creation going, what does that rest mean? We remember after each day, everything was good. Exactly the way God intended it to be. Every plant and animal, the huge universe and the many molecules, the man and the woman, they were all good, perfect as God intended them to be. And so God was able on that seventh day to look back at all that he made and simply delight in his creation. It might be something like if a congregation builds a new church and they set a day of dedication. On that day of dedication, they don't come to lay more bricks, to pound more nails, to do the painting. No, all that work has been done. They just come to take in the beautiful building and to praise God in thankfulness. The Creator wanted to enjoy and delight in what he made, and he wanted his creatures to continue to do so too. But it didn't stay that way, did it? Satan intervened upon God's good creation with his temptation. Adam and Eve were deceived and they listened to his words. And ever since that time, God's good creation, instead of having the aroma of life, has the stench of death. Instead of bearing God's blessing, God spoke his curse upon the world and everything in it. But the Bible says there remains a rest for God's people. And the Lord God gave that rest to his people in the promise of the Messiah who was going to come. And he surely has come, as we know. And in him, God gives us back that rest, for the Lord of the Sabbath created the best rest of all. It was pictured in the Old Testament law. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. That was one of the ceremonial laws that was given to the Old Testament Hebrew people. The ceremonial laws told the Israelites when, where, and how they were to worship. Perhaps the most familiar to us is the Passover lamb. Annually, the Passover festival was held, and we know what a striking picture that is of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, the Sabbath was something that took place every week, the seventh day of the week on Saturday, when people were not to do any physical work or anyone in their household to have that physical rest. The Sabbath is primarily about a spiritual rest that we have with God, but our kind and gracious Lord God also knew the benefit of his creatures physically resting too. And on that Sabbath day, they were to assemble, that they were to come together and remember how the Lord on the seventh day of creation declared a Sabbath, declared a rest, how it was lost, but it was restored again in the promise of the Messiah. They were to remember that. And they had good reason to come together and worship their Lord God as they remembered. Do you notice that, well, in Exodus, with creation is brought up with Sabbath. Here in the words that we read, Moses doesn't mention the creation day, but the fact that the Lord God had freed them from their slavery in Egypt. As they came together and thought about God's delight in the good creation that he made, and how that was going to be restored when the Messiah came, they had every reason to trust the Lord, because for many years they were slaves themselves in Egypt. 400 years they were subject to Egypt, and many of those were making bricks and bricks and more bricks, just constant hard labor. They could not set themselves free so that they could rest, but the Lord did. The Lord set them free. And so as they remembered that and they thought of the Messiah, they kept the Sabbath day holy. And the Messiah, of course, came. And he's the fulfillment of that rest. He gives us back again the rest which was lost from the Garden of Eden. The Apostle Paul explains it in a very graphic but interesting way. He says, like, there's a shadow. And that shadow is caused by a substance, by a reality that makes that shadow. If there was not the reality, if there was not the substance, there wouldn't be any shadow at all. The Old Testament law of the Sabbath was like the shadow. It pictured the rest that would be found in the Messiah. What the people did couldn't restore that rest, but it kept that picture constantly in their mind. But Paul says, now we have the reality. We have the substance. We have Christ. He has come, he's born, died, and rose again for us. So we don't want to live in the shadow anymore when we have the Savior himself. If you're hungry and you had a choice between sitting at a table and enjoying a wonderful meal or receiving a picture of that meal, no brainer which we would receive, is it? And we would want to sit and enjoy. And we're able to do that because Christ has come. He has come and he's promised us forgiveness if we are weak and weary because of our sin. And who isn't? By giving us complete and full forgiveness for all that we have done or failed to do. Remember Jesus' words, "Come unto me, all you who are weak and weary, and I will give you rest." Do you speak Hebrew? I will give you Sabbath. The Sabbath rest which was lost in the Garden of Eden is restored to us perfectly and beautifully in the Lord Jesus Christ. Martin Luther so carefully captured this for us when he wrote about the third commandment in his catechism. He asked the question, what does it mean that we should keep the Sabbath day holy? And the catechism doesn't mention that we should set a certain day aside. That would be the shadow. That would be drawing the picture again of what we have. It doesn't say that we should even worship a certain number of times, or that we should stop our physical work on a certain day. No, Luther simply says that we should fear and love God, that we do not despise preaching and his word, but gladly hear and learn it. Because in that word is the gospel. And in that gospel, Christ comes to us and gives to us the rest this world cannot give. Something that's important for us to remember, but so hard for us to grab a hold of, is that because it goes against our human way of thinking, that our New Testament worship is not so much what we do, but what we receive. We come together here knowing that when we hear the gospel in word or receive it in sacrament, we will receive from God the forgiveness that we need for all of our sins. And where there is forgiveness, there is life and there is salvation. Our time of worship affords the opportunity for the Holy Spirit, who brought us to faith, to continue to work through that gospel, to strengthen that faith in us, so that we always remain close to Christ, in whom alone is our rest, our Sabbath. I don't know how effective it really was, but I would always tell my catechism class students to develop the habit of saying, I am going to worship, rather than I'm going to church. Because it just seems that when I say I'm going to church, that's something that I do and I deserve credit for. But I can't do anything to restore that rest which was lost. And when I say I'm going to church, it's very easy for me to listen to my sinful nature and not go, and it's not really no big deal. But if I'm saying to myself regularly, I have an opportunity to go to worship, why would I ever not want to come and receive the forgiveness, the life, and the salvation that the Lord gives me through the word and the gospel? Would that not be despising God's word and not gladly hearing and learning it? And so we love to come to worship as the Holy Spirit brings us closer and closer to Christ. Until we get to heaven and see the Lord face to face, this rest that we have in Christ is always going to be disturbed by the sinful world we live in and our own sinful nature. But in Christ, we always have that rest. The writer to the Hebrews gives the best commentary on the third commandment when he says, therefore, since the promise to enter this rest remains, let us beware that none of you be found to have fallen short. For we also have received the good news, just as they, the Old Testament people, did. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter, the Lord again specifies a certain day for the Sabbath day. Today, that's what the writer to the Hebrews tells us, how we New Testament Christians should look for the Sabbath day. It is today, whenever we open the word, whenever we find Christ in word or sacrament, we have that rest. And so today, If you are weary and burdened because you look back at the week and you remember how many times you thought or said or did what God told you not to, and perhaps failed to do what he asked you to do, the Lord says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Because in him there's complete and total forgiveness, the best rest of all in Christ Jesus. If you find yourself sometime being all stressed out because you're trying to prove to somebody, probably yourself, myself, or to God, that I belong in his family, and so I make myself come to worship at St. Timothy's. I give the most generous offering I possibly can give, and I want to serve here at St. Timothy every opportunity that I have. But then I always wonder, when I worshiped, was I really worshiping with my heart or only my lips? Could I have given more? Could I have served better? Look to Christ. He says to you, give it a rest. Listen to what I said. Have I not said upon the cross, it is finished? The work is all done, just like with the dedication of the church building. There's nothing left for you to do. Don't think like a Pharisee and make the Sabbath rest into a law again of something that you have to do. But think like a Christian and know that in me, it all is finished. And you already have crossed over from death into life. And so you can worship me. You can give your gifts to me. And you can serve me gladly and freely. Not under a law, but under my undeserved love, my grace. That's the best rest. Today, if you are kind of afraid because you look at the society that we are living in, and frankly, it scares you to bits. Does anybody really want to follow the ways of the Lord anymore? Christ says, don't be afraid. Come to me. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Yes, in this world you will have troubles, but I have overcome that world. And all who are in Christ are a new creation. You have a new kingdom, a new country to which you belong. And not even the gates of hell can destroy that. That's the best rest of knowing that we are together with Christ in his kingdom and will be forever. Did you notice that the rest that we strive for in daily life all come to an end? Summer break, but students and teachers, a new school year will begin. You are on your feet all day and enjoy to put them up on the recliner on your lazy boy, but morning comes and your feet are back on the ground again. Medication gives you a good night's sleep, but it wears off, and you have to take more medication. The Lord of the Sabbath gives the best rest of all. He gave it when he created this world good, and it was lost because of our sin. But he gave it back again in Christ Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know where to find him. He's in the gospel, in word and sacrament. How can we not but gladly hear and learn that word? Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.